It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, a brand new broadcast week underway. This is the 17th day of August, 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we keep the Horn chat room tucked away. The merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. Yes. And if you'd like to be part of the aforementioned Merry Madcap, well, just wander on over to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, pick out a screen name and a password, if and you never have before. If you have, just use the same old one, or maybe a new one if you've forgotten it. Who knows? Anything can happen in the chat room, and you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, does not fold space during months that don't have R's in them. No, because it's hot again today in the man cave, and there's just no sense in folding space into that. No, there's not. Sparky is, of course, capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. And we're all looking forward to busy Moran Monday. Oh, yes, we are. And, of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude because, you know, no ads, no vacuum cleaners picking up bowling balls off of Swedish mattresses made of foam developed by NASA. None of that. It's just not there. We don't do it. This ain't that kind of broadcast. We are not looking to deliver you to the tender mercies of advertisers. Y'all keep it all going because, well, you choose to. And so thanks to our subscribers over the course of the weekend. Thank you to Nancy and thank you to Laborman. Thank you very kindly to Reinhard and to Brock. Thank you to Timothy. And thank you also to Timothy, who is not Timothy, other Timothy. Thank you to the fraternity of Timothy's over this past weekend. Thank you to Glenn in New York. Thank you to Joseph. Thank you all most kindly. Indeed. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut, and thank you to Robert. Thank you all very much, very much. Thank you to our buddy John in PA. Thanks to Jeremy for getting us started this evening. That means our little old daily goal is just $195. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Hopefully we'll get that knocked out and be all the better for it. No time flat. It is of course, Moran Monday here on the Horn. I've got the Horn color weather window, color weather storm door within view right now because I'm watching smoke wafting from out of the acorn cooker because there's been a brisket on since this morning. Two days worth of brining in my proprietary blend of 117 original herbs and spices. and took it off this took it out this morning, patted it down, rubbed it with the second round of 117 proprietary original herbs and spices. Set it to built the fire, set it to smoking, had the bottom fall out of the charcoal bag. You know, that's the mark of a good bag of charcoal. The fact that some of them are plastic lined to protect the charcoal against moisture and so forth. This brand was not. So the bottom of the charcoal bag fell out on me this morning. And so that I just love playing with charcoal. I'm kidding. But it's now residing in a contractor bag. Eesh. Yeah. So anyway, got the fire built. Put the brisket on. Let it go for about 6 hours. And then I open it back up, put it in a pan, put a little water around the pan, put foil tightly over the top of the foil pan, and let it go for the rest of the program here. And there will be a brisket tasting at the end. And tomorrow looks like the weather's going to be halfway decent. So I think tomorrow's going to be the great brisket paella experiment. And I'm excited. Should be yummy. So that's just how that was what today was. The weekend was nice enough, but, you know, it's funny. It's only 2 days out of a 7 day week. But this one seemed particularly longish. I think it's because of the amount of untrammeled crazy that just made up the weekend. I mean, so that what was crazy on Saturday, it can't even keep up with the crazy of today. So, this being Morian Monday and everything, we should probably keep with tradition. Mm-hmm.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, yes, indeed, friends and neighbors. Just a few tiny steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only moments ago you were vainly throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a desperate attempt to take home a little baby iguana that will someday grow to the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. Yes, yes, it's right here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas. Reside all the Morans you could ever desire to hear. Yes, right-wing Morans, the occasional left-wing Moran. Morans of all stripes, all varieties, all shapes and sizes. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, baggers, booger-eaters, libertarians, trumpanzees, full-blown maggots. They're all right here for you. Remember, friends and neighbors, admission to the Moran Monday tent doesn't cost anything, but we do like to remind folks that participation in the Moran Monday tent sets you back all of a half a stick of chewing gum per day, per program here at the Horn. And that includes the rest of the programming, too. So it suffice to say, it's a bargain. Now, by all means, if you're going to enter the Moran Monday tent, and I think we all are, please be conscious, be cognizant of things that matter to you. Children, pets, even little iguanas that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Bracelets, rings, jewelry, wallets, purses. Yes, even European-style messenger bags. Keep a close hand on all of them, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, and you'll be up to your armpits and Morans. Oh, and you will. Oh, that's never going to hurt. That's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent amendment. Ah, the wind shifted. Smoke's blowing in another direction now. Hickory smoke, by the way. Like I said,
We had Morans to begin the week weekend, and they're just passé now, because as of today, that noted political scholar and student of culture, Kanye West, has had a vision. Yes, yes, Kanye's had a vision. He that's what he said it was. Don't blame me. I mean, he's the one who says he's seeing things. Usually that can be helped with medication. But just like his God Emperor, he turned on the caps lock on his screen and said, "A vision just came to me. Jesus talk, I was watching TikTok with my daughter." Now, bear in mind, after me, there's an ellipsis, three dots. "A vision just came to me, dot, dot, dot." It's all caps. After that, there's not a lick of punctuation. So you take this for whatever you can get out of it. "A vision just came to me. Jesus talk, I was watching TikTok with my daughter, and as a Christian father, I was disturbed by a lot of the content, but I completely loved the technology." Well, that worked out nicely with the conclusion of the Moran Monday music. Now, this Christian father, remember, is Kanye West, who has done things like produced videos that show him doing sexy time while riding a motorcycle. Yeah. And sampling a Ray Charles song while intoning, "I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't going for no broke," that word. Yeah. Christian father, Kanye West, with an early lead out of the gate on Moran Monday. Whew, yeah, I know. But that's okay. We'll have lots more crazy. And I saw this yesterday, and it probably, this is more in the way of public service or just a freaking warning. There has been a mutation of COVID-19 discovered. Whew. Man. Bloomberg News had the story. They have named the mutation D614G. And it showed up in 3 out of 45 cases in a cluster that started in a restaurant or a restaurant owner returning from India who then didn't follow through on his 14-day home quarantine. This is in Malaysia. He came home from India to Malaysia, breached his quarantine, and that started a 45-case cluster. Apparently, what passes for justice is swift in Malaysia, because he's already been sent to 5 months in a Malaysian prison and issued a hefty fine. But that was just one cluster, because D614G, and I have a feeling we're going to learn to say that. Here in Merca, we're kind of slowish. It took us a long time to say COVID-19. Mainly that's because the weakest link are the maggots, who insisted on calling it the Kung Flu, the Wu Flu, the Wuhan Flu, and of course the President of the United States, who only became President of the United States by operation of an anachronism from our vicious slavery past, to this day calls it the China virus. D614G. I hope to goodness we don't wind up needing to remember that. But that's the thing. It showed up in cases coming to Malaysia from the Philippines and the guy coming back from India. Announcing the discovery, the Director General of Health, Nur Hisham Abdullah of Malaysia, said that the strain is 10 times more infectious than what we're dealing with now. Immediately, another scientist took issue with that, Benjamin Cowling, who runs the Epidemiology and Biostatistics Department at the University of Hong Kong, said it might be a little bit more contagious. We haven't yet got enough evidence to evaluate that, but there's no evidence that it's a lot more contagious. But here's the thing. The D614G strain that they found in Malaysia, that's the dominant strain from Europe and the United States. And they just found it in Malaysia via India and the Philippines. Oh, dear. Dear, dear, dear. So maybe we don't have to know, maybe we don't have to learn D614G. Because, you know, that's what we're already up to our necks in. It's the mutation that started in Europe and really got going real good when it came from Europe to the U.S. Kind of points out the futility of trying to get your racism on by virtue of a disease name.
They call it a China virus.
You know, you're a jerk. Donald J. Trump. J stands for jerk.
That's who we need to be mad about.
Because he was blithering about that over the weekend.
We need to be mad at China. China.
And of course, COVID Caligula's baby brother shuffled off this mortal coil this past weekend. We know that it was a difficult and heartbreaking moment for Donald Trump because he assuaged his grief after just popping by long enough to say,
"Too bad you're dead, Bobby."
And then he was off to play golf. No, really.
My brother's really sick and he died.
Four! What is it about Republicans playing golf after someone dies? I'm sorry, but I remember these things. Long, 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 long ago, George H.W. Bush and Babs, both now gone to their long homes, they had a little baby girl named Robin, and she fought a terrible battle with leukemia. And it was far enough back in time that the medicine and the treatments around leukemia weren't particularly hopeful. And so maybe when she was, what, three? I think she was W's baby sister. She died. She died of that fell disease. And Poppy and Babs assuaged their grief with a round of golf. I played a good bit of golf in my day. I never saw it as particularly good for grief assuaging. But just the same, that's what Nitwit Nero did. He went and played him some golf to get over the sadness. You know, as frustrating as the game of golf can be, I don't think it can change. No. But then again, you know, the rich, as F. Scott Fitzgerald told Hemingway, the rich are very different from you and me. Treatments are still not that great, Bob, says Natural in the chat room. We lost someone very close to leukemia, and that was recently. And that is why the research continues. And that's why, for instance, I always had a soft spot for St. Jude's Research Hospital down in Memphis. Until I found out that they had let Jared Kushner come along and grift along onto him, glom onto him. Go figure. This is, this is a profit-driven healthcare industry, plain and simple. And speaking of people passing away, Bob, yesterday was August 16th, and four very famous people died on this day. Incredibly, the king of rock and roll, Elvis, and the queen of soul, Aretha Franklin, along with baseball's very best, Babe Ruth. Well, at one point, baseball's very best. And one of the world's very worst, Idi Amin. All died on August the 16th. All four of these people, in my mind, had an indirect relationship with Donald Trump. Let's see where this goes. Babe Ruth, the greatest baseball player of all time, would have hit 900 home runs if he had not hit the bottle so much and spent most of the first 5 years of his career as a great pitcher rather than an everyday player, which cost him many at-bats. I think it was probably more the 5 years as a pitcher. I mean, that's 300 home runs if he hit. Okay, that's 250 home runs if he hits 50 a year in those 5 years. Unfortunately, Ruth and Trump had two things in common. Both were sent away to reformatories as children because of their unruly behaviors as children, and both were womanizers as they cheated on their wives. Ironically, Donald Trump in 2018 would posthumously award Ruth the Presidential Medal of Freedom for Ruth's numerous contributions to children's charities and supportive efforts during World War II. I think it was Grantland Rice who, upon the death of Babe Ruth, wrote a poem called Game Called. And Ruth did, but Ruth was a poor kid. And he grew up in the worst that America had to offer to poor kids. COVID Caligula, on the other hand, was trucked away to a private, well-heeled reformatory that masqueraded as a military school. Then there's Elvis Presley, who has little in common with Trump, except that they both appear to have abused prescription drugs. Well, there's that, and they both had an authoritarian streak. Remember, Elvis was thrilled to go and meet with Richard Nixon. No word on whether Richard Nixon told Elvis, "It's the Jews, Elvis, the Jews," like he did with Billy Graham and just about everybody else. Listen. And made what made Elvis an honorary FBI agent? Was that what it was? Yeah. Unlike Trump, however, Presley expressed respect for African American people and their quest for civil rights. Elvis closely studied blues musician Arthur Crudup and fashioned his music after the blues sound. Well, he and Sam Phillips, a certain extent, Colonel Tom Parker, and some would say just flat out ripped off people like Little Richard. Little Richard felt that way. While Donald's brother, Fred Trump, was affixing the letter C, which designated African-American as colored on real estate applications, Elvis was down in Memphis cracking segregation laws by performing at local amusement parks on numerous occasions on what was designated as colored night. Idi Amin's rule as a dictator reminds us of Trump, as Amin's regime was rampant with human rights abuses, political oppression, nepotism, corruption, and gross economic mismanagement. Human rights group human rights groups estimate that between 100,000 to 500,000 people were killed under his rule. At this point, with all of Trump's similarities to Amin, one wonders, do we have a dictator or a president in the White House? Well, I think Professor Spicoli might intone upon that.
You dick!
Yeah, never mind the tater. What's that, Giraffe? Giraffe says there are 170,000 dead due to the virus under Trump's regime. Yeah, I think we have a dictator. And of course, Aretha Franklin endlessly protested for civil rights and women's rights as her song Respect became an anthem for the women's movement in the 70s. She was jailed for disturbing the peace during protests in Detroit when she stated that sometimes you have to disturb the peace to get some peace. Aretha Franklin declined the opportunity to perform at Donald Trump's 2017 inauguration ceremony for obvious reasons. So yes, on Sunday the 16th, we had a king and queen die on that day, and we don't need a king and queen in the White House. Idi Amin was a dictator, and we don't need a dictator in the People's House. Babe Ruth was at one time baseball's greatest slugger, and we don't need a sluggard taking swings at our democracy. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 17th day of August, with Giraffe swinging at the Trump pinata and swinging for the fences. I added the swinging for the fences part. Thanks, Joey. I understand, says Ron and Raleigh, Bob Trump supposedly had a fall which prompted his demise. My question is, do you think that Doofus Don shed a single tear over his younger brother's death? Not one. I can't imagine that he did. It seems the Trumps have balance problems. Doesn't Donnie wear lifts in his shoes? Maybe that'll cause him to tilt too far forward, so... Down goes Trump! Down goes Trump! I think that was an invitation to hear from old cousin Howard Cosell Kincaid. Well, I think that is, in fact, why he's constantly, listing to four. Would that be the naval terminology for it? Yeah. Lifts in his shoes. So as you can see, it looks like we've got the better part of a right busy more in Monday ahead of us. And let's go ahead. Wait, is there a shit show this evening? I know you hate it when I ask that, don't you? I mean, I figured there would have to be a shit show this evening, maybe even an extended shit show. Well, I mean, he was up in Wisconsin earlier today. So maybe no shit show. But what with the Democratic National Convention coming along, about 9 o'clock Eastern time, I bet they scheduled it that way because they figured that was past his bedtime. He'd be all twooped out and off to Betty Bye. Ah, that's it. That's it. Okay, thank you. Elbert in Rhode Island. It was an honorary FBI agent. Nixon made Elvis an honorary DEA agent. Elvis was trying to... Elvis was trying to convince Nixon that the Beatles were influencing the use of illegal drugs in America. Nixon tried and tried and tried to get John Lennon deported. Yeah. So, if we're lucky, no shit show. But, and You know, I've seen some Sturm und Drang over the Democratic National Convention. I'm not that... I don't even see much of a purpose. I mean, I guess maybe there's somebody out there crawling out from under a rock who might decide to vote for Joe Biden based on what happens in this convention. Okay. But man, if you need this convention to convince you to vote for Joe Biden, where the hell have you been for the last 3.5 years? And, you know, last summer seems so far away. I remember we were talking about hopefully being in Milwaukee if we could raise up the funds to do it and getting credentialed and covering the convention from there. Yeah, that went away in a hurry. So this is all virtual. And okay. Because it's not safe to hold mass gatherings right now, but I don't have to tell you that. You know that. But Ron and Raleigh wrote a little bit ago, so the Democratic Convention starts today. The subject line on this is, please explain why. I need to know why, according to reports, AOC gets a paltry 60 seconds to speak while John fucking Kasich, a Republican, has a full speaking slot. None of the other squad members get doodly squat. It seems the DNC likes Republicans more than Progressive Party members. This troubles me as much as the weak-ass platform. It appears that Grandpa Joe, if he wins, will spend his time in office doing the same thing that President Obama did, reaching across the aisle only to draw back a bloody stump. Compromise to the Republicans means giving them everything they want, which Chuckle Schumer seems willing to do. I feel another scream coming on. And I sympathize with that need for a scream. There have been too many references to Harlan Ellison's classic short story, "For I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream." I think there's no "for" in front of it. "I have no mouth and I must scream." Well, luckily, we've all got mouths here, and so we can scream. I suggest that we reserve our screaming, however, for shit worth screaming about. And the pathetic, the homicidal approach to this pandemic being pretty much top of that list right now. But I've seen a lot of tweets about how Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez only got a minute, and John Kasich, or you know, whoever, whichever right-leaning politician you don't like, has gotten more time. And I don't have a definitive answer because I do not sit on the DNC. But I do remember that the DNC is comprised of the Democratic Party, and that I'm very skeptical of much of what I see said about goddamn neoliberal establishment shill DNC, goddamn. And that's not me pointing that at you, Ron. It's sincerely not. But you would think that the DNC was, I don't know, chaos or spacely space sprockets or some massively powerful instant. It's not. What you have here is a bunch of people trying to put together something that looks a little bit like a convention in the middle of a goddamn pandemic so as to have something of the trappings of normalcy in a brutally abnormal time. Why would you give John Kasich more time than you'd give Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Again, I wasn't in on the meetings, but I can speculate. I can speculate as well as the best of them can. I can speculate that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is still a first-term freshman member of Congress. Having done that, I can ask how many other first-term freshman members of Congress there are on the lineup, And if she's getting a minute and nobody else is getting bupkis, that seems to be the more appropriate metric by which to judge this. She is a member of Congress from a solidly blue, reliably blue district. Would that encompass Angelo's People's Republic of the Bronx? I think she's Tara Devlin's congressperson. And so she does get to represent. Kasich, however, if he has agreed to say things other than, well, if he has agreed to go tough at Donald Trump, then maybe he brings his constituency in Ohio with him. Although that's always a dodgy proposition, especially within Democratic Party politics. Although we're hoping he's bringing some disaffected anti-Trump Republicans along. So that might explain that. We spent 8 years of, I suggested a cabinet level position of the Secretary of Jesus Barack, who would just say exactly that to him every time that he tried to, well, every time he extended the hand of friendship and the laurel of peace to the Republicans, only to draw back a bloody stump, as Ron notes. We thought that that was called for. And knowing what Joe Biden's behavior has been like in the Senate of the United States, in which, among other things, Joe Biden has built a career out of forging alliances and compromises and all that backslapping, glad-handing, hail fellow well-met politics of a bygone American era, I can see where one would be afraid that it'll just be business as usual. And I'm leaving the tattered purple robe with the frayed moons and stars appliqued on them, and "Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark, Baby" written in glow in the dark paint across the front, and the busted magic eight ball that always says "Answer hazy, ask again later." I'm leaving the robe on the hook and the magic eight ball on the shelf, because I'm not willing to make any predictions. But as I said on Friday, circumstances have a way of making presidencies. Unless the presidency, as is the case here, is sui generis, as is this president. No crisis. No outcry for leadership could ever make him be more than the deeply intellectually damaged human being that he is. He can't rise to the circumstances. He doesn't want to. He's not interested in it. If it isn't touching him, my God, his own brother died, and he turned his tweet about his dying brother into a tweet about himself. How much more do we need to know? Because that seems pretty clear to me. But in this time, this frightful time, what we want and need to hear, what we want and need to have, is a president who will follow science, a president who will listen to the researchers, who will return the CDC to its position as a relatively neutral seeker of facts. Because, as I've said before, this is the most important presidential election any of us will ever have faced. But we've got to put the fire out before we start picking out new carpet. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Steve in New York says, I think Kasich is speaking for one reason, to stoke the stroke. If that's his reason, that's fine by me. Trump, Steve says, doesn't want to be president. He wants to be called president.
You know, someone said, sir.
Right. Steve in New York noting, AOC is my member of Congress. Screaming, Steve adds, as you and I have said repeatedly, electing Joe Biden is step one. After that, we scream, we claw, we push, we fart, we burble to push him where we want him to be. What's that old FDR line? You told me what you want, now make me do it. So, there's that. I forgot, Ron says. They even opened up a spot for former Republican Mike Bloomberg. If Kasich spoke like Zell Miller did at the Republican convention, I'd be okay with it. However, you know it's not going to happen. Alack and alas. Maybe I'm wrong, but I have a feeling there's not going to be a lot of fire and brimstone here. I think they're going to try to project an image of competence, sobriety, determination, and intelligence. This is no convention for an Ann Richards, God, how we miss her, to step forward and say, as she said of George H.W. Bush back in 1988, poor George. That was the theme of the whole speech. It was amazing. Everybody in the arena there in Atlanta was just electrified by her. Poor George, she declared. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth. And I mean the building went wild. I mean, that was an arena that had seen the Atlanta Flames play hockey. It had seen the Atlanta Hawks play basketball. And I went to some hoops games. I never heard a roar rise up in that building, that convention center, that arena, as loud as I heard when Ann Richards said that of George H.W. Bush. And then Michael Dukakis, a good, good man, went out and drove a tank and got beat and just got drubbed over that image. And then Bernie Shaw did his number on him. Governor Dukakis, if Willie Horton raped your wife, wouldn't you want Willie Horton executed? Long memory sometimes. Long memory. Maybe there'll be a zinger here and there. But frankly, if you devoted a couple of days to just making sport of Donald Trump, well, fuck, that's John Oliver's job. That's Trevor Noah's job. That's Stephen Colbert's job. Don't work Samantha Bee. Don't work somebody else's corner just because you're having a convention. All in all, the platform doesn't amount to much. The specifics don't amount to much. This is a contest between Trump and not fucking Trump. This is a contest between an unimpeded to the quarterback COVID-19 pandemic and trying to get it under control. Ann Richards later, Lee in New York, reminds us, was asked how to defeat George W. Bush, and she said if she knew that, she'd be governor. Sharp, sharp. There will also be visual cues. As Steve in New York points out, leadership. I think everyone's going to wear masks, etc., and show that as an example of leadership. Simple, stone-cold leadership by example. Because this is not an ordinary time. This is not normalcy. This is the time of the COVIDiots, the mask holes, the anti-vaxxers. God, I read an article earlier today that just crawled all over me. ABC News had it. It's actually an old article, but it's a 2019 article. But you know, this is before the pandemic gets to us. And it's an article about people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running around trying to stoke vaccine paranoia in the African-American community. Because there was, you remember those simpler times? Like when there was a measles outbreak in the Orthodox Jewish community in the greater New York City area? Because they didn't want their children vaccinated? Yeah. Yeah. I do. That makes perfectly good sense, Lou. In my estimation, they want Kasich to speak to try to appeal to moderate Republicans. They're trying to build some... They're trying to build some sort of a coalition, some sort of a consortium to save this nation, because that's what's going on right now. I wasn't around for it. Most of the people who were, well, all the adults are gone. And the people who were just old enough to be conscripted or volunteer for the military, well, they were off fighting the Second World War. Others were here on the home front, but, you know, again, we're talking somebody born in 1925 would have turned 95 this year. We're tragically short on 95-year-olds, made more so by this goddamn pandemic. But as the United States entered into the Second World War, There was a coming together. There was a unifying. Was some of that driven by propaganda? Absolutely. But as I've noted in the past, for us now, it's, well, you know, there was Pearl Harbor, and then Midway, and then we dropped the bomb and we won. And the Second World War was so much further from being that. It was a losable war. the forces we sent to Europe, for the most part, went on bombing missions over Germany, the U.S. Army Air Corps. Some fighting in North Africa. A desperate struggle across the Mediterranean to Sicily. And then up the Italian peninsula. Trying to take a little bit of pressure off of Stalin and the forces of the Soviet forces in the east. With Stalin constantly shrieking for Churchill and FDR to open up a second front. Another second front. But back here, and in the South Pacific, of course, it was anything but decided. After Pearl Harbor, we damn near didn't have a navy. We had three aircraft carriers and their support ships, but all the great battle wagons were at the bottom of Pearl Harbor for the most part. It was a harrowing time and a frightening time. And this country did manage to come together. And I think that's the task that faces the Democrats this time through. We have got to get a greater number of the people of the United States to understand that this is a battle. This is a war. I hate war references to things that aren't wars. But this feels like that. This feels like that. I've said before, in my 57 years on this planet, there have been no great wars. I was too young for Vietnam. And the two Bush wars were practically over and done before they started. They were foregone conclusions. Just like it was a foregone conclusion when we beat the snot out of Little Grenada. Or when we thumped the living shit out of Panama. I used to call that eagle behavior. Because remember, our national symbol, the eagle, never attacks anything its own size and would prefer to eat dead. But that is part of the... That's part of the calculus. Because one of the little pieces of news that came out over the course of the weekend was that while the official death count from COVID-19 in the United States stands a little north of 170,000. The CDC now feels relatively confident that the real death toll is north of 200,000. How far north, we don't know. And so, as David in South Carolina stands, says, we will hit 2 million COVID deaths if we do not change administrations. This is what was predicted for USA with no mediation.
No, that was 20. It was going to be 20 million if I hadn't done the greatest virus response with so much testing, so much testing.
And as ever so many public health experts have warned, winter is coming. Man, I've come to hate that phrase. The tagline for Game of Thrones, winter is coming. And just before airtime, when I was out tinkering with the temperature of the smoker to make sure it stayed right there in that 220, 230 sweet spot while I was doing this, I felt the warm rays of the mid-August sun on my shoulders. And it felt almost foreign. or it felt like it had the nostalgia of a Kiss goodbye. I've seen my first references to pumpkin spice. The autumn stuff is being put on shelves and at the Wally World, and there you I don't think you could find a pair of swim trunks if you absolutely had to have one. Mm-mm. Now, what's Don Henley sing? I feel it in the air, summer's out of reach. And over the course of the weekend, Agnes and I were talking, because I've been in a funk. I know it. I've been in a funk. And it's unpleasant. And I finally identified its source, I think. And I think its source comes from the fact that, and I mentioned this to our buddy Reverbo too. I think it comes from some notion that I had that, yeah, okay, the pandemic came on and sort of kind of maybe got paid attention to a little bit. Not really. And I thought, no, I believed that dangerous, dangerous, dangerous word. I believed that this country would find a solution. That this country would find some animating force that would allow us to get control of this, despite all of the evidence, despite all of everything my lying eyes and lying ears were telling me. Jesus, I was wrong. Reverbo says, bewildered at the grocery store once again. Not just at the people who don't cover their nose, but then there are the ones who pull their mask completely down to talk, 2 feet away, making the whole point of the mask non-functional. This pandemic will be here for 5 or more years without a national level of commitment. And Reverbo said, an industrial nation level population with so many this brain dead is too bizarre. Many of our authority figures are simply conning us. That's a different thing. To be fair, most here in my state are being smart and safe, but most ain't enough. And like I said, I started pondering the long history of this country. It is, in short, a history of fuck-ups. Jamestown. A bunch of gold hunters who didn't know the first goddamn thing about planting a crop. Come over here and they're all going to get rich, and then they're all going to go back home to Mother England with as much gold as they can carry. Didn't work out that way. Asshole Puritans, aiming for Virginia, find Massachusetts instead, and promptly set up a theocracy and start murdering the locals. While declaring that they're going to build a shining city on a hill. The whole taxation without no taxation without representation thing? That was born of a bunch of petulant little piss ants. Sorry, fetishizers of the founders. Who did not want to pay for the protection that had just been afforded them through the course of what we refer to as the French and Indian War, but was merely the local theater of a global conflict between France and Britain. And Britain damn near bankrupted itself in the process and had the temerity to ask the colonists to help carry their weight. And the colonists, of course, said, fuck y'all. No taxation without representation. Then came the revolution. Did George Washington, except for that Christmas sneak attack across the river to New Jersey, did he ever win a battle? I mean, I guess he gets credited with Yorktown, but that's only because the French Navy was there bottling up Cornwallis on the peninsula. Now, the Overmountain boys got all liquored up and crossed over the hills and kicked the shit out of some British troops at King's Mountain. War of 1812, that was a disaster of our own making. The most famous victory out of that war came after the war was already over. In 1814, we took a little trip along Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Yep. The massive failure to deal with slavery that results in some 400,000 American soldiers dead between 1861 and 1865. And the Union fought that war half-heartedly until Lincoln could finally find somebody that actually wanted to go and kick ass and win. And then there was an insurrection. Grant came along and kicked the shit out of the Klan, but that didn't last. American history is a long history of trying everything we possibly can and then eventually stumbling into the answer. The United States and Britain could never have handled the Third Reich on their own. It's a fact. Korea became a war because before Korea was a war, it was an American diplomatic fuck-up. Same with Vietnam. The myth of American exceptionalism is myth on a more mythic level. Than the tooth fairy. In moments of great trial, we have come together. But we have not come together that way since 1945. We had little victories. We have responded to pandemics before. Polio, flu. But in those senses, our medical community has been a victim of its own success. Because now, because you have a younger generation than mine of parents who have never seen someone who survived polio that they know of. They don't think pandemics are any big deal. God almighty. And of course, the greatest humor, if humor it is, out of all that is that of the younger generations that turn on their TV from time to time, and even my generation and old and generations beyond mine, we see a crotchety old fiend who could not care less about average ordinary working Americans standing there talking about blue state bailouts when that fucker is a polio survivor and was a polio survivor by dint of charities pushed along by a man whom his party despises. FDR. Talking about Mitch McConnell. And so stupidity runs rampant through our country. And I have pointed out before, and this is a good time to remind, of just how much damage a plurality of ignorant people can do. How much harm they can inflict. Anti-vaxxers aren't the majority of this country. Mask holes and COVIDiots aren't either. But when you're dealing with science and when you're dealing with numbers, as Reverbo pointed out, most ain't enough. What's the vaccination rate to achieve herd immunity for chickenpox, measles, mumps, rubella, all of that? 95%? Lots of places in this country, it's dropped below that. It's not a majority. That is a tyranny brought on by ignorance and privilege and stupidity. But what happens is when you get someone of particularly ill will who is willing to leverage and weaponize that ignorance and stupidity, well, that's when you get what we have now. And, you know, here we are. And here we are. Megan says, hell, I thought it was a long history of let's fix that. Don't like being ruled by royalty and getting blindsided by religious wars? Let's fix that. Slavery allowed in the country? Let's fix that. Black people can't vote or own property or be their own citizens? Let's fix that. Women can't vote, work, earn their own money, or be persons outside of marriage? Let's fix that. Environment getting polluted? Let's fix that. And on and on and on. So I propose to you, COVID Caligula wants to be the first American dictator to feed his narcissistic ego. Let's fix that. Republicans want him to let him rob the treasury, give everything to billionaires. Let's fix that. I like that. Megan, I do. But before you can have something to fix, something has to be fucked up. And by the way, with everything that I've just mentioned, that long list of American fuck-ups, you know who was not responsible for that? Women. Indigenous people. People of color. The Spanish, the French, the Swedes, the Russians. No. As a certain campaign slogan back in 2012 said, we built that! Washington gets credited with 3 wins out of 9 battles. Well, okay, that'd get him into the big leagues, batting 333. Flavio says, I always hold out the possibility of redemption. Remember Senator Robert Byrd? Oh, yes. You remember how he changed so radically? And Byrd had a lot farther to travel than Biden. Nobody's perfect. Remember, it was under Obama's postal services started being run out of staple stores with non-unionized workers. I just hope Biden won't turn around and offer herd impunity to Trump and company if and when he wins the presidency. Herd impunity. Don't think I didn't see what you did there, Flavio. And from the Department of Holy Crap, yeah, we have clips. Dear God, do we have clips? So they're in Wisconsin today. He was explaining how the COVID pandemic is all part of God's plan, and God's plan is all about him.
And what we're doing together is nothing short of an economic miracle, and now we're doing it again. We did it. We built the greatest economy in the history of the world, and now I have to do it again.
The fuck are the maggots cheering about? He did not build the greatest economy in the history of the universe now, today, forever, under God. No. Listen to him complain. And now I have to do it again. How many times do I have to tell you people?
You know what that is? That's right. That's God testing me. Said, you know, you did it once. And I said, did I do a great job, God? I'm the only one that could do it. He said, that you shouldn't say. Now we're going to have you do it again. I said, okay, I agree. You got me. But I did.
Wow, he gave God permission. Oh, cue up Patsy Cline. Crazy. Yeah. And then he wanted to take a victory lap because somebody else has the Rona too.
The places that they were using to hold up, they're having a big surge. They're having a, and I don't want that. I don't want that. But they were holding up names of countries, and now they're saying, whoops. In fact, even New Zealand, you see what's going on in New Zealand. They beat it. They beat it. It was like front page. They beat it because they wanted to show me something. The problem is, big surge in New Zealand.
Holy shit. New Zealand. Hi, y'all. New Zealand only went to the lengths they went to stop COVID-19 because they wanted to show something to Donald Trump. Wow. And all of those people there. Are grunting and clapping and hooting and larping and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging all over each other. Probably not a mask in sight. Yeah, that's what the New Zealand did.
So, you know, it's terrible. We don't want that. But this is an invisible enemy that should have never been let to come to this country, to Europe, or the rest of the world by China. Just remember it.
China. Just remember it. China. Now, what the maggots don't know is that New Zealand went into a hard lockdown over, wait for it, 9 cases. On the same day that New Zealand reported 9 new COVID cases, the United States of America reported over 42,000, and that with reduced and insufficient testing. Yeah. Nine. Well, we've only got 41,991 more new cases today than New Zealand did.
So much winning.
Yeah. And then, of course, the usual resorts to racism and his, you know, his attempt at petty vindictiveness that so thrills his wrestling audience.
And his vice presidential candidate, Biden, picked Kamala Harris.
Kamala, dickhead. As if they don't know. Because he's the newscaster in chief.
She's a beauty. Who co-sponsored a $32 trillion socialist takeover of healthcare and our country, because our country would be ruined, destroyed. And the 33...
Wow, everybody getting to go to the doctor when they're sick would destroy our country. Well, we got lots of people who can't, and COVID-19's burning through us, and... Well, yeah.
Think of this. You had 33 in healthcare and $93 trillion on the socialist Green New Deal, which doesn't work. It's like written by a child. It's written by a child, a foolish child.
Yeah, a foolish. It says a guy with a third grade vocabulary. But if referring to...
not a bad number, 700%.
If referring to Kamala Harris as
a real beauty, that one.
Yeah, why not just say the word and get it over with, Donnie? He's aching. Oh, he wants to so badly. What do you want to bet? He does when he's around the ones who won't rat him out. But no, Ilhan Omar. I think he was speaking in this case, and I said Wisconsin, I didn't mean it, Mankato, Minnesota.
Not a bad number, 700%. You read that, right? That's in the manifesto. He would overwhelm Minnesota with refugees from terror hotspots, depleting public services, burdening schools, and straining city budgets. You already know about the hot spots, don't you, huh? You know about it. You're having plenty of problems.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but the hot spots are what places where the coronavirus is spreading out of control, not places where immigrants happen to be.
In Minnesota. But I'm going to be so politically correct, I'm not going to say a thing. But I know all about your hot spots. You got some hot spots. Very unfair to Minnesota, I will tell you that. And I'll tell you, if I don't win Minnesota, I'm never going to do it if I run for a third or fourth term, okay? I'll never be back if I run. I've given up. I almost won last time. One more speech, Mike. Why didn't you have... I almost won. I went to Michigan. I had a choice. I shouldn't tell you this, but we won Michigan. One more speech, I would have won. It was so close. But if I don't win it this time, I'm not coming back. Never. Not for term 3, 4, 5, or 6. Under my administration, we've dramatically reduced refugee resettlement, and we've suspended refugee resettlement during the pandemic. You know that we've totally...
Yeah, okay. So he's proud of the fact that we're not being decent to refugees anymore. And yet earlier, he was talking about him and God. His daughter and son-in-law allegedly subscribe to a religion that teaches, be kind to the stranger, for you were once strangers in the land of Egypt. He claims to subscribe to a religion that says the most important things you can do are feed the hungry, heal the sick, and take care of the homeless. House the homeless. And practically everyone listening to him there, I have no doubt, would tell you that they are absolutely a Christian, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Wrong accent, I know. And yet they're giggling about him pissing on the message of their avatar. So, having taken a vague swipe at the Somali community, he then just gets obvious and goes after the most visible member of that community.
Kamala Harris, and she's got some big issues. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. I mean, I hear the boos. How the hell did she win the primary? How did she win the Lacey? What the hell happened, Lacey? Huh? It's Jason's fault. How the hell did she win? This woman is crazy. She's a horrible woman who hates our country. Mail-in vote. You're right, right? We'll have to check that. Let's check the mail-in vote.
Yeah, because one of the maggots says, mail-in vote, sir.
Vote. Now, seriously, how does a woman who hates our country, who says nothing but bad things about our country and Israel and other of our allies, how does this woman win?
Maybe because she convinced more people to vote for her than her mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing Republican opponent did? Just a guess. That's all, just a guess. It got so bad that even Fox News TV Radio Rwanda cut away when he started babbling in Oshkosh. About how he's going to win the state of New York, which despises him.
For Republicans, you have to run the whole board because they start off. Now, we're going to play for New York with all of the crime in New York. I'm going to play for New York.
That was President Trump speaking live in Wisconsin.
you don't want the rubes hearing just exactly how delusional he is. No, we can't have that. Can we run the MyPillow commercial or something, please? Speaking of whom, Mike Lydell, the MyPillow guy? Well, if you liked infrared butt boat, or I'm sorry, ultraviolet butt plugs, and Lysol enemas, you're gonna love Oleandrin. Once again, it's one of those DJ moments. And I miss Lady B. Oleander growing outside the door. Oleander's growing outside the door. So it's a lyric. And so now, because everything in this country has to be stupid, we have a proposed health clip or health. I'm sorry. No, I'm looking at a clip. We have a proposed health supplement that's being pushed by Ben Carson and the MyPillow guy who ran out and bought stock in the company that's making this snake oil called Oleandrin, and it is an extractive of the oleander flower. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding. And they're pushing for hospital trials and fast-tracked approval from the FDA. You Yeah, really. Mike Lindell and Ben Carson, who, by the way, is not part of any science department. He's the head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Back in July, we're pitching Oleandrin to Nitwit Nero. And Lindell has taken a position, as they like to say in the business world, taken a position in Phoenix Biotechnology. And Axios interviewed Lindell. And Lindell told Axios that Nitwit Nero basically said
the FDA should be approving it.
So, hydroxychloroquine, now we're at Oleandrin. And just in case you're wondering, oleanders, the flowers of the oleander, are just plain, pure poison. Not just the flowers, the whole damn plant. One leaf, one oleander leaf, can kill an adult human being. Now, I don't think I have to worry about any members of the Horn Family Community Congregation running out to purchase Oleandrin. It's not for sale just yet, I don't think. But I don't think I have to worry about anybody munching on the leaves or the flowers either. But, you know, the maggots you have always with you, and you might have a neighbor or something, if you catch them outside chewing on those oleanders that Steely Dan sang about growing outside the door. My old school, by the way, is the song. You want to look for vomiting, abdominal pain, dizziness, skin turning blue, low blood pressure, low body temperature, and respiratory paralysis. Even getting the plant's sap on your skin. Can cause sores to burst out. And there's not a shred of peer-reviewed evidence that this works. But hey, since when has that slowed these stupid bastards down? Right? Yeah. And by the way, going back to Lee in New York says, Mike Lindell and Ben Carson, a match made in heaven. The guy who makes pillows and the guy who looks like he cannot lift his head off a pillow.
Ah.
And has a portrait of him walking around with his buddy Jesus. Flavio, fun fact, oleander tea is the preferred suicide drug in Sri Lanka. Oh, God, I hope we don't have any listeners in Sri Lanka. As to New Zealand, Steve points out, New Zealand hadn't had any cases for 100-plus days. They had 13, that's what I read yesterday. Even if you convert it to the proportion of what would have been here, we have 68 times more people. That means that in proportion, that would mean 884 cases in a single day for us. And we have that and send kids back to school. Remember, Bob, Ralphs points out, Scott predicted we would hit 200,000 COVID deaths by the end of July, I think. Yeah. Back in May, we were talking about having 2,000 deaths a day in June. Jesus. Oh, dear me. How about that? Oleandrin is the 2020 equivalent of OXO's meat drink, which was touted as a magic cure during the 1918 flu pandemic. Look it up. Oh, I'm almost afraid. What's next, asked Steve. Castor oil? Leeches? Bleeding? Dead chickens waved over people's heads? Well, you know, the gods, when properly invoked, can be quite efficacious. Leeches can help. Castor oil serves a purpose. An extractive of the oleander has been marginally found useful in cancer treatments, but, and I don't need to put this fine a point on it, but I will just the same, COVID ain't cancer. Yeah. So we're halfway into the program, and Jeremy got us started. Got $195 to go for the evening. So if you want to help out, interface is there at headon.live. Todd's with us. Hey, Todd.
Oh, man, I had no idea the oleander was that poisonous.
Neither did I, but it is.
I have about one. I'm looking out of my front window.
I mean, they're pretty.
At least five. Yeah, but you know, now it makes all the sense in the world because the insects do not bother this plant. It has that, you know, the telltale bright colored flowers. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think the state flower here, the rhododendron. Mm-hmm. I think it's poison too.
I think you're right. Yeah, that rhododendron is. Yeah, because that's related to the mountain laurel.
Yeah.
In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I think they're related. Wow, that's funny. Yeah, because we have millions of insects around here, and they don't bother that. That's one thing. So I got to tell people to stop pulling the leaves, because that could explain a lot what you're talking about. Because, you know, this is the jungle here, man. It's a facade of a, like, civilized town or city or whatever. But, yeah, we're on the edge. Hey, listen, man, you talk about succinct and fact-filled. You're a filibuster. Damn. That was from the heart, man. This was, you got to, like, mark that one down today. Whoa.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, I'm serious. It's the truth. And I mean, you touched on, you know, all the, you know, many important issues, like why, like, you know, the convention, like, you don't need, this is only right and wrong now. I don't care what your political party is. It doesn't even matter. This is right and wrong. You know, do you believe in science? Would you believe in this, you know, this cultus, you fill in the blank. You did it. You know, that's all I'm trying to say about that.
And you know, the question about why are these Republicans getting play at the Democratic convention? Like I said, I think it's related to trying to create awareness that it's not a simple bullshit duality of those who like Trump and those who don't like Trump. Or Democrats don't like Trump, but Republicans do. there's a new ad out by an outfit called Republican Voters Against Trump. And it features a guy named Miles Taylor, Todd. And he's the former Department of Homeland Security Chief of Staff, which is not a slouch position, right? Well, he has announced his endorsement of Biden. And as progressives, liberals, whatever we're calling each other, I'm sorry, Agnes is checking the checking temp for me.
We're hi, Agnes.
She's outside at the smoker, and I was peering through the color weather window. Yeah, she said we're just a skosh over 200, so that's perfect. I smell it, and it's making me crazy. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Miles Taylor has done an ad for Republican Voters Against Trump, and some of the stuff he says in the ad, and I don't think he's lying, are horrifying. Even for those of us who've known what a shitbird and what a dangerous maniac Donald Trump is all along, it's horrifying. But what I was getting at is that, over here we're like, don't trust him, and I'm okay with that. I don't trust them, these never-Trump Republicans. This morning, did you catch the filthy morning habit?
Yep.
But remember how they were David Frum, the guy who helped get a million innocent Iraqi civilians killed, talking about how we have to have a rebuilt, rehabilitated Republican Party. Which made me wonder what he thought because that's the heart of this never Trump horseshit is that the Republicans up until 2016 were fine. The fuck they were. I remember when the Reagan administration was cutting off people who literally were in iron lungs from their Social Security disability. Reagan.
They're being very disingenuous.
Well, they're also trying to save their hides. Because they can never meaningfully be part of a party where a significant plurality, if not, I think it's actually a majority, want people to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Who want to take the profit motive out of some things. Like clean air. Medicine, clean water.
Right. I don't often take notes when you're doing your filibuster. I don't take notes. But like I'm saying, it was so powerful and succinct today. And there's so many moving parts. It's weird, that old analogy where the frog is in the pot and he doesn't know he's being boiled and the fish doesn't know he's in water because they don't know anything. This is where we are now. If you take any individual act now, almost, it will be hugely consequential.
How bad was it? Jake Tapper this weekend made a reference to Idiocracy.
Oh, I like Jake though. Jake is like, well, I don't know about that. That's not true. I mean, not all the time. Okay, I missed that one. I missed that one.
It was by way of some sort of an apology. He said, I'm sorry. Sometimes it feels like I'm giving the news out of Idiocracy, but, and then went on.
Okay. Right. It was real quick. Okay. Right.
I can say with no reservations whatsoever, I will not be watching the Democratic convention on MSNBC.
That's what I wanted to say. Right. And you were so right. I mean, what's the point? If you don't know by now, and once again, people.
Well, no. It's not that I won't watch. I'll go over and watch on C-SPAN or whatever. But I'm not going to watch MSNBC because I do not wish to listen to Joke Toad pontificate on shit that he knows absolutely nothing about and cares less.
I think he's on his way out. I think that he is you know, he's milked that teat as long as he could. He's just not there. He's not qualified. You know, just remember, nothing against, people have obligations, but, you know, he didn't finish school, number one. Maybe he did online, I don't know, but I know traditionally he did not finish school. He does not have a background in political science. He had a background in sports, like calling games. Am I wrong here?
I'm not sure what his background is, but I know it ain't nuclear science.
It ain't nuclear science. And, you know, he's been lucky, and he has been softballing these mugs for so many years now, and their time is up. We don't have time for that shit. And I've noticed, and this, I did not mean to mention this, but you brought it up. I think, you see, it looks like to me MSNBC is making another tack, like TACK, like sailing, you know, tack toward the hard left now. Because remember, when they pulled in Ed Schultz and some other folks, they were kind of going to moderate. You know, they were trying to be middle of the road at one point. And they played that out. You know, they got rid of Ed Schultz. That's the feeling I get. Because now, you know, they got Joy Reid. And Joy Reid is hard to mess with. Now, she asks hard questions. I've seen her ask hard questions.
And oh, but she's got a terrible ideological purity deficit. Did you not know that?
Well, and I don't disagree with you. I do not disagree. That's why she needs a foil, an in-house foil to her. And I'm glad that people are, like, I know you have a bias in about this duo, these people, but I have to say the folks that have been filling in for her her weekend show. Tiffany is much smoother than her counterpart. I'm not going to say the woman's name, but you mentioned that maybe she, you know, doesn't have a pedigree, this and that. And, you know, I think it came through. I mean, she's pretty and all, but that doesn't, you know, so what? But, you know, everybody's pretty. You're on TV. So what? You know, and I just, you know, you got me off on that, man. But, you know, this shit. You know, we were warned, and this is why we were warned. This is why there was a duty to warn. And you see, because this entity will drag down everything because he feels slighted. And this is what if people don't understand this by now, what more information do you need? The post office, this country would not be what it is without the post office, going back to Ben Franklin. This is how our news got out, because papers had to get, you know, you live in the hinterlands, that little newspaper was coming from New York. It might take 2 months, but it was getting there. But that was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this assault on the post office is unbelievable. I mean, this is like every institution they are wrecking, and the folks that I think, and I'm just trying to dovetail on your filibuster, but people who doubt this Russian connection, you know, once again, take your limbic system out of it and engage your prefrontal lobe. And who benefits from most of these decisions we're making on a geopolitical from a geopolitical stance? No, an international stance. This is like Russia's menu. What's next? I mean, we've been...
It's certainly part of a wish list.
You know, I mean, come on. Just check it off. I mean, what's next? Is he going to just give away the warm water port? Is that what's going to happen while we're all, you know, engaged in this other stuff? Because I can see that coming.
Oh, no, you want to know? You give him four more years and he'll announce.
I've just, you know, nobody makes a deal like I make a deal. I make the best deals. And I've just made the best deal of all the best deals that I've ever made best deals on. I've just sold Alaska.
Oh, right. And what does that mean?
I mean, they discovered it after all. The Russians did. So I sold it back to him at a huge profit. Believe me, it's huge.
And the subtext is, well, you know, it's okay because they're white. And I'm not trying to make, you know, be, I'm not trying to get into this ethnicity thing. I'm really not. However, this is part of this campaign. We have to be clear about this. And, I mean, when in our lifetime, I mean, they were fucking good at what they did. When I say they, I mean this shift. Look how quick this shift happened between the commies. Now the commies are us. The commies used to be the Russians, right?
Well, yeah, but see, that's part of what Vlad Putin did over there in Russia. He deliberately reinstated the Russian Orthodox faith solely to leverage the Russian Orthodox Church for his own acquisition of power. And so you wind up with these sick, twisted laws where if some divine says he's offended, then you've committed an offense against the state by offending religion. And then, you know, the Russian Church had a wish list, part of which was to crack down on the LGBTQ population.
That worked out for them, didn't it?
Oh, hell yes, it did. And so the Russian Orthodox Church has also reacquired shit tons of real property.
Yep.
Wealth acquisition has always been big, whether you're Orthodox or Roman Catholic.
So that includes the artwork, probably.
Oh, sure.
And, you know,
but monasteries and cathedrals and, you know.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I wanted to go back to this guy, Todd, Miles Taylor, former chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security. And it's a 2-minute video. No money's changed hands. But he lays out some fairly amazing stuff. Take a listen.
I'm Miles Taylor. I served as the chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security under the Donald Trump administration. I would go into the office, I would read my intelligence brief, and then it was my job to help the Department of Homeland Security to keep our country safe. What we saw week in and week out, and for me after 2.5 years in that administration, was terrifying. We would go in to try to talk to him about a pressing national security issue, cyber attack, terrorism threat. He wasn't interested in those things. To him, they weren't priorities. But the president wanted to exploit the Department of Homeland Security for his own political purposes and to fuel his own agenda. The California wildfires. On a phone call with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, he told FEMA to cut off the money and to no longer give individual assistance to California. He told us to stop giving money to people whose houses had burned down from a wildfire because he was so rageful that people in the state of California didn't support him and that politically it wasn't a base for him. The policies at the border, he wanted to restart zero tolerance and separate families. He said he wanted to go further and have a deliberate policy of ripping children away from their parents to show those parents that they shouldn't come to the border in the first place. A lot of the time, the things he wanted to do not only were impossible, but in many cases illegal. He didn't want us to tell him it was illegal anymore because he knew that there were, and these were his words, he knew that he had magical authorities. He was one of the most unfocused,
magical authority,
undisciplined senior executives I've ever encountered. I came away completely convinced based on firsthand experience that the president was ill-equipped and wouldn't become equipped to do his job effectively, and what's worse, was actively doing damage to our security. People who are still serving in this administration have said to me, just wait until the second term. It'll be no holds barred. It'll be shock and awe. We'll do what we want. Given what I've experienced in the administration, I have to support Joe Biden for president. And even though I'm not a Democrat, even though I disagree on key issues, I'm confident that Joe Biden will protect the country. And I'm confident he won't make the same mistakes as this president.
Whoa!
Just wait till the second term. We'll do whatever we want.
They're doing what... Okay, I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to sound excited. That was damning.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the kind of little little Republican functionary that, you know, you can find in any bar after 5:30. But he, you know, he's a you can hear him, you know, he didn't use any dirty words or anything. He's a privileged little white guy. And he sees all of his hopes and dreams disappearing because he needs America to work for him to leverage all the privilege that he has. And when a guy with that much privilege is telling you that it's threatened, then you better bet that everything is threatened. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. And he's saying it. He's saying as much as he can say without getting himself in trouble. You have to read. There's almost no lines to read between, but just listen to what that man just said.
I have magical authorities.
That's what caught me. Right. So can you dissect that? Oh, you know, because that's powerful there.
Well, yeah, it is, and it's the that's the see he doesn't use evangelical language very well, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
If he had a little bit better vocabulary, he might have said, "I have divine authorities."
I have magical authorities. They're just there. Only I know how to use them.
But see, and to a magical certain, is no, like a no, placeholder term. Mm-hmm.
Right, but to a certain extent it's true. Because...
It is.
No, it's true because his minions have sought out ways to pervert the system to give him power that no self-respecting president would ever have claimed.
Well, that's the whole thing, the parlor game. It's, you know, like the Mad Libs. All right, take out Trump, insert Obama. What if Obama did that?
Oh, if Obama said, "I have magical powers," Rush Limbaugh's head would have exploded right out of his ass. There would have just been a big flushing noise, and everything inside Rush Limbaugh's head would have gone shooting out of his polonial cyst-infested ass.
I'm trying to stay focused here with our conversation because it seems like I don't know.
They had a shit hemorrhage over a tan suit.
A tan suit. Well, that's it. He's got to go.
Well, obviously, he doesn't respect the office of the presidency. No president would ever wear a tan suit.
Now, see, you sound like my friend, Britt Hume, who has the plasma of Ronald Reagan pulsing through his veins.
Your buddy Britt.
Now, people don't know, understand that yet. He went to Walter Reed, and he got a bit of, he said, he paid for that shit. Look, if they want to make up shit, I can make up shit. Fuck them. I find him reprehensible, by the way, and that's okay. He might live in Falls Church, McLean. I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter. But So I just don't get it. Well, what is left now? This is what I don't understand. I was thinking about these political parties. It's just a label, as we've heard, you know, before, but. This has got to be, there's so much, remember, just like you said, so much has happened in a few months because we have all these defections now from within where, who knows, like in maybe 30 years, the Republicans might be the Democrats who might end up shifting again. We don't know. It's just a label.
I kind of doubt that. I don't think.
You kind of doubt that?
I don't think the pendulum swings that way.
Okay.
Remember, the Republicans were the anti-slavery party, pretty much. But the Republicans, the original Republican Party wasn't much of a party. It was the place where disaffected Whigs and know-nothings and other minor mm-hmm. parties all gathered together because mm-hmm. the Whig Party was dying. I have to explain this about every 4 years, not to you. You already know. There are only ever going to be two major parties in this country, because that's what the system compels.
I'm glad you brought the conversation back to that, because
when one party dies, it is immediately supplanted by the party nearest to it.
Right.
In ideological terms.
So if
Trump manages to kill the Republican Party, well, you can make the argument that the Republican Party was killed back in 2010 by the teabaggers.
Yep.
And before that, the John Birchers and the Klansmen and the various, conservatives. And again, they blithered on about the meaning of conservatism this morning, and that's when I turned it the fuck off. About how they were good conservatives back then. And George Will was about to strangle himself with his own necktie trying to... And
we had an ideological sense of where we were going.
I mean, economic conservatives in the classic liberal sense of liberal democracy. So suddenly liberal's not a bad word anymore, as long as George Will and David Frum and Joe Scarborough are saying it. But the Republican Party has been falling apart for a long time. And it can, and it constantly, well, it, in 1968, it reinvented itself on the backs of whiny, disinfected, or dis, not disinfected, disaffected, maybe disinfected too, whiny, disaffected Southern white people. And that's when LBJ said, "We've lost the South for a generation." 1964, Civil Rights Act, 1965, Voting Rights Act, 1968, Great Society. We've lost the Republican Party for a generation, or we've lost the South for a generation. And it turned out to be more than a generation. Because where that might have faded a little bit with the election of Jimmy Carter over Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan rushed into the breach and gave a states' rights speech in Neshoba County, Mississippi, that signaled to all of those disinfected Southern whites, the great washed, that no, the Republican Party wasn't going soft or squishy or anything. There's going to be plenty of racism to go around for everybody.
And that
locked down a second generation.
That to most black people who were alive at that point, I was a politically conscious teenager. You were slightly older than me. You probably, that was maybe your second or first vote. I don't know. But to black folks, we had just moved to the suburbs. I mean, way out. And man, it was like when that shit happened, it was like Trump putting on the mask. Like, oh, look, everybody's wearing a mask now. God damn, you people are fucking simple. You know, you waited for a fucking simpleton to tell you to put a mask on. So when Reagan, when it was like, okay, it's okay to be racist again. You know, fuck all this disco shit. It's too much mingling. And it was like night and day. And every black person over 53 maybe, 54, you understand what I'm saying, 52, it was like night and day. And it may not have been palpable to my white brothers and sisters, but it was very clear. It was like, we had enough of this. We the welfare queen, and they're taking jobs. You know, it was very, very clear. And I'm not calling this get in the middle of any type of ethnicity.
No. I understand what you're saying. And so what happens is the Republican Party keeps getting infusions of new blood.
Mm-hmm.
But every infusion has a few more parts per million of fucking crazy in it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a lunatic Ginsu commercial. Wait, you like Barry Goldwater? Wait till you meet Richard Nixon. You like Nixon? Here comes Reagan. Reagan, well, and so you wind up with a Republican Party that can only continue to survive on crazy. They've been addicted to the crazy crack since about the time I was born. Remember, oh, the John Birch folks were shrieking, you know, hanging by their toenails from the tree limbs, howling that Dwight D. Eisenhower was a commie simp.
They meant some shit.
I was old enough to remember when they were saying that Gerald Ford was a commie simp. And everybody but them was a commie simp. Until it got to the point where if you didn't want to be called a commie simp, you had to be with them. And so they invaded, you know, the libertarians. You know, oh, libertarianism is race neutral. Oh, what's that, Uncle Ron Paul?
Okay.
Wait, what's that, Uncle Ron Paul? You've got a newsletter that talks about about the ignorant black people? Cool. What a libertarian.
I would kindly like to pause you just to amplify your point. Only because, see, what you Goldwater, those folks, the Birchers, and people were saying, you know, you guys are kind of like off the edge here. Like, maybe you need to back up. And they were like, no, this is how it has to be. But this is why I don't believe in both siderisms all the time. I believe in people having their equal say, but sometimes it's right and wrong. Now, I don't see a cogent argument for that side. I just don't see it. It just doesn't add up. They can talk all the shit they want and get their folks in Stanford and like Shockley in Stanford, you know, that white supremacist and looking like a dumbass talking to Francis Cress Wellesley, Francis Cress. But, you know, it just doesn't add up. And every generation, we keep going through this shit. And, you know, this is why they don't want folks together. And this is why I like Reverend Barber, because he's picking up where King left off. That's what got King killed, was like, you know what? This is past ethnicity now. This is about working people. Because now look at us. This is the $10 an hour economy. People are making $10 an hour to do what professionals used to do, making 30. Even before you adjust for time and money and how it changes. I mean, just in absolute dollars. You know, we're in dangerous territory. So we don't need to pimp out the other countries anymore. We're pimping out ourselves. The corporations are. Because it is bullshit.
Yeah. You have to take the look, and Todd, and see where it's going. And so, since they're on the crazy crack, the crack is only going to get crazier. All right? And so, the maggots are the logical extension of the teabaggers. And it goes all the way back. Like, hell, it goes back past the John Birchers. It goes back to Strom Thurmond bailing out of the Democratic Party in 1948 and running his own presidential campaign against Harry Truman because Harry Truman wasn't white supremacist enough.
That's a hell of a film. I've seen that. That's a hell of a film. I know what you're talking about. Yep. Dixiecrat. Yep.
Swimming poos and shit like that, you know? So, where it's going, if we beat Trump and take the House and the Senate, there will be a reconstituted Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the same way that, you know, Israel busted its ass to destroy the PLO and then they found out that Hezbollah was so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Frum and Scarborough and Will were getting at is that we really do need to make some space for what we used to despise as the old guard Republicans.
Yeah, but they don't know who to identify with and what to call themselves.
Well, that's the thing. It turned out that the only way they could ever win was by pacifying and placating and ameliorating and dog whistling with the freaks. C. Lee Atwater. C. Willie Horton.
Right.
Okay?
Oh, you answered my question. I was going to ask you. I went on a little diatribe. But that, see, because remember, unlike, we're not like them. In other words, we're more ideological. When we don't, it doesn't matter what party you're in. If you're right, you're right. You're wrong, you're wrong. We're not going to back you. But they are like, they don't understand they're like fascists, but they vote as fascists.
I was pointing this out back in 2004. I pointed out that, you know, the Ku Klux Klan in Texas endorsed George W. Bush. So it doesn't matter how you feel about them. As if you voted for George W. Bush, you voted with him. You said, hey, I can deal. And so there we are in 2018. And there's Ron Monkey Up DeClantis in a neck-and-neck race with Andrew Gillum, and he's only able to win because he can put together a coalition that includes fucking Nazis and Klansmen.
Otherwise, Gillum had that.
Stacey Abrams.
Right.
In Georgia. Would be governor right now, and more Georgians would be fucking alive. But for classic white supremacist voter suppression efforts by Brian Kemp, when he had no business doing them because he was conflicted completely out of his mind because he was Secretary of State.
You know what? Deep down, let's look at what. See, you've laid this out beautifully. Because deep down, now we know who these people are. You laid out the history. And we have to remember who these folks are and from whence they come. And this goes back to the Scopes trial. These folks have a limited view of science, number one. They really believe in what they think is the Bible, what they believe is the Bible, and what they believe, whatever the Bible is, whatever.
Yeah, and you get a cowbell for tying the Scopes monkey trial to all of this. That was pro.
I'm glad thank you. I'm glad you understand. Right. You were. I'm not. I know you do it because. Right. So.
And again. So that loops into Richard Hofstadter and the paranoid style in American politics. 1964.
Right. And see, these folks have always been here, and now they have a voice. Because now, just think about it. Now people are talking out loud. Like, you know, my penchant. Now, look, man, I'm like, when I got time in the morning, man, I got on two screens. I have on Joe, and I have on morning Washington Journal, because that's the, you know, that's the pulse of America, some of them. You know, people on certain people. But, see, people are bringing out in public space now why they don't like Social Security. Just like they had that Chumley woman on, right? And I say that Chumley woman, I forget her name, is Carol or Karen. I think it's Karen Chumley for Washington Times, and she just let her fucking hood off, like recently, her recent offering.
Ta-da!
That woman's crazy. Listen, she is a dangerous ass motherfucker, and I mean that with all sincerity. She will not wear, if you see that woman, you better fucking run. She will not wear a mask, and see these people, and remember, and the reason I brought up the Scopes trial is because they really believe, like, you know what? Fuck it. There's just too many people in the country now anyway. We need a little color. They believe that shit. They're okay with that. They want to lose some people. They're okay with, they want that. And they don't want, they never did like the New Deal. And I never used to believe that. I'm like, who could be against that? But, this is your cold Civil War. And it ain't so cold.
So what happens if we win?
Well, I don't know that we're now. I'm glad you fucking said that. Let me.
I didn't say when. I said if.
Explain. Listen, we ain't going to win shit. And let me tell you why. I don't think we are. Number one, this shit is rigged, like you said. We got Russia, China, Iran. Everybody's fucking with our shit, number one. Number two, we got the pandemic. Number three, the incumbent already, that's an automatic, like, leap ahead.
Well, I mean, you do know over the weekend, he said,
well, you know, if there's no deal, they can't have the money, and then they can't do their universal mail-in balloting.
Yeah. And because they're hip on my filthy morning habit, Joe proudly said, he said the quiet part out loud.
Right, because he does not engage his prefrontal lobe. He has an overactive limbic system, and he does not engage his prefrontal lobe. He doesn't have no fucking filter. So, you know, and he will tell you, I know this motherfucker now. That's what I'm saying. Everyone needs to watch it, that whole Jonathan Swan interview. The whole thing. You got to watch it twice. So you know what you're fucking dealing with. And if you vote for that motherfucker after watching that, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with your ass. You need to go to school. That person, that entity, whoever you are.
Well, it's like Barbara just wrote in, and by the way, jumped in alongside Jeremy and helped us out this evening, taking us down to 170. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara says the Russian Orthodox Church was one of the reasons the revolution began. The people were sick of them with their sanction of brutality and their corruption. Seems like they didn't change after all the years they were out of favor. The evangelicals are just like them. Yeah, they are.
Because
you know what? But we can extend that worldwide. Fundies is fundies is fundies is fundies.
All of it down to your root and branch.
Yeah, yep. It don't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Jain, Shinto, Buddhist, don't care.
Yep. See, that's what used to separate us. And see, okay, there's two things I really, before I, you know, I mean, you get me so perked up, man, I get off on these tangents, but there are two things I really want to hit on here because I feel like it's important. The first thing is when you were talking about the religion, And how people vote. See, and they vote lockstep, no matter what. They're going to vote lockstep.
Oh, Republican. If I had a nickel for every time I heard some Republican say, goddamn Democrats voting their goddamn straight ticket Democrat tickets. When there's no bigger straight ticket voter than a Republican anywhere in the country. Okay.
Anywhere.
Plain and simple.
We will pick and choose because we're more cerebral. But that's,
well, I mean, not me. I've never voted for a Republican in my life. But I also enjoy the process of voting. So I never did the straight ticket thing just because I like to go down and comprehend and sort of digest my ballot. I liked making all those marks. But I'm weird that way.
Now, this is what I would like to know. Why is Joe Biden, this is what I say he's going to, that Trump is going to win, the mentally ill fascist, because why is it Biden is only ahead by, 10 points here, 9.
Well, see, now you're on the same street corner with Brother Deacon Asa.
What the fuck are people thinking about? He should be, Biden should be ahead by 80 points. There should be no fucking deliberation. What the fuck do you need to talk about?
Brother Deacon Asa looked at the poll numbers and said, 9-point lead over this degenerate ape means Biden's losing. If people weren't completely brain dead, Biden would have a 50-point lead. I think we're fooling ourselves if we're thinking Biden has a chance with anything less than a 20-point lead. And I said, I responded, and I said, it's like being within arm's length of a pickpocket. And he said, yeah, you put that in the cheap seats, except I was thinking more axe murderer.
We better wake the fuck up. And I forgot what my second point. I mean, I know what it is. I wrote it down. But yeah, while we're on this, yeah, and I'm gonna have to piggyback on Scott because I had to find out the hard way and what he described about the voting. Now every state is different, and I'm reaching out to Clarence and Dave because you live here, and this is the most forward thing I've ever seen in this state in my fucking life. This is the most forward thing they've had here since sliced bread. You can check a box and say, I don't want to vote in person because of COVID. And I had a very long talk with the director of our local voting board, only because I called from work. I don't know if he called my caller ID, but we talked. And the director picked up. I didn't know it was the director. And he picked up, and we were talking about the voting and what, because I'm like double checking because last cycle, this is what I did, and what Scott was describing, and it works. you know, you're going to have that ballot. You got to start early. They're going to have to send it to you through the mail, your absentee ballot. It comes through the mail. You fill it out. You walk it through. Whatever your process is. In South Carolina, you go down to the place, your local place, and they run it through a machine. It looks like a receipt, and they run it through the machine. And there was no one. It's a whole stadium, and there was no one in there when I did it. I made sure to go, like, right after lunch when I figured, you know, it was my day off, and it worked smoothly. And I was like, this is the most forward thing that has ever happened in this state to me in terms of voting. But this is what it's going to require. It's a big deal because this nonsense about, look what happened in Kentucky. You know, this is where people need to step back maybe and just look at the bigger picture here. What is going on? Our post office is being wrecked. It's been being wrecked. You know, it didn't just start, but now this is criminal. This is absolutely fucking criminal. I'm not trying to. I'm sorry. Let me calm down. But
But there's something that needs to be mentioned here because we have. Something like, well, we got 50 states plus territories, and every one of them has different election laws. That's one of the exploits in all of this, because the maggots have operatives in every state working to fuck up. You can mail it in, sure. But here, you want to chat?
No, don't do that. That's what I'm telling you.
I know. Work with me here. I mean, Dave in South Carolina sent me a headline. Mail delayed by weeks in Myrtle Beach and Florence areas. Sorting machines removed in South Carolina, union officials say.
See?
Now, that's a reliably blood-red state. But guess what happened today?
What?
One of the major polling outfits moved the Senate race from likely Republican to leans Republican. Others have put Jamie Harrison in a dead heat with Lindsey.
Listen, Jamie, I told you about Jamie. Jamie's a bad motherfucker, man. I'm telling you, if he can do this,
if people get to vote.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? And see, this is why you know this is a lot of work to fucking man. This is worse than paying attention. This shit is work. You have to really want to motherfucking vote. It ain't like it used to be. You just can't. You know, I'm gonna go vote. No, your ass might not be on the rolls anymore. You should have started checking back in June. It's too late now. If your ass ain't on the rolls now, you fucking done. I'm not playing with this.
No,
shit.
But what I'm getting at is there are so many little tiny places they can fuck with things. Back when I was doing my primary ballot, you may remember me talking about how, you know, my signature certified that I was not going to be in the county on the day of the election. All right.
And that's why you signed it, right?
Everybody was supposed to be able to, but, you know, they just didn't deal with that part of it. So nobody.
Wait, please. You have to operationally define that. What do you know?
Well, that was just one of those things that the Republican Secretary of State didn't happen to notice is printed on the outside envelope of every goddamn absentee ballot in this state. I do here certify under penalty of perjury that I am not going to be in the county on the day of the election. Amen. So I found another one Friday night during the front porch because we were talking about all of this. I went to the West Virginia Secretary of State's website. Now, I don't know what it's like voting in South Carolina or anywhere else. I do all my voting in West Virginia. But I sign every time I go and vote at the polling place.
Right.
And so they got a history of signatures.
Right.
And whether your signature matches is truly in the eye of the beholder.
That is so subjective, it's not even funny.
Dang, that is the exact word. So here's how it goes with the application for an absentee ballot. Have you ever, you're bound to have, have you ever gone and, you know, ordered carry out and they run your plastic or whatever and then you have to sign on the little touch screen?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, you know, most people just draw a line and hit submit. And that's enough for the credit.
That does not look like our signature.
That's enough for the credit. But that's enough for the credit card companies, Todd. What about when it's an election? Because when I went to the West Virginia Secretary of State's office website and I applied for my absentee ballot, and I remember talking with Roger about it, he said, okay, you've taken one round trip out of two round trips out of it. Yes. If I get one. Because there is an...
It didn't work. There's an, my work. That
I did it. I did it. Hold on. Yeah, hold, easy. Easy. Breathe. So I did it. I did it on the production machine here, the fab machine. That's obviously not a touch screen, because it gives you instructions. You know, use your fingertip or a stylus, whatever. Sign your name. Well, I couldn't do that. So instead, I had to sign my name with my mouse.
Oh hell no! That doesn't look like no. There's no way in hell that's going to look right.
My signature looked like 173-year-old me signed my name. But I hit submit. But if you're a Republican and you want to disappear my vote, all you got to do is compare that signature to the one on the voter rolls, the hard copy. Hell, that ain't him.
That's somebody in China in their mother's basement.
See, since you brought that up and the leapfrog backwards real quick, I'm gonna stay focused. See, this is why we have to take over the state legislature. Because just like you said, once you get the legislature, you control all this shit. So back to forward. Right. So that signature, they can do that, but then how do you know? See, every state is different. Like, are they going to spend money on postage or a phone call to let you know, hey, your signature, we want you to be able to vote.
They made me give my phone number in case there's a question.
Or do they just say, oh, this motherfucker, huh?
They made me give my phone number in case there's a question.
Did you get a call?
No. That was Friday. God knows where that application is right now. Because it goes to the West Virginia Secretary of State, and then the Secretary of State turns it around to the county of your residence. So I figure mine is probably in, I don't know, Pocahontas County right now, because I live in Fayette.
It's out there in the ether. And then guess what's going to happen? Because you live in a Republican state, or because they run and shit in terms of elections, you see, if you try to go ahead and vote, they're going to say, oh, then you might get a felon.
Well, yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying with this?
So, I mean, the larger point that I'm trying to make is that there are a million little points in the process where they can fuck with your ability to vote.
Absolutely.
You know, they're not, you know, these aren't the ham-fisted brutes of the day when, say, somebody looked like you, Todd, would have been asked to read a Chinese restaurant menu to prove your literacy, you know, in Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Or guess how many jelly beans are in the jar.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that anymore, because one of the things is we taught them that shit wasn't going to work anymore. So now they go. Now they're just a bunch of. It's kind of like probable cause in a car. You know, you're driving down the road. You're doing the best you can. You're not violating any laws. If a cop wants to pull you over, a cop will pull you over, and he'll say. You failed to signal, or you went over the center line.
Yep. When there is no line.
Right. When there's no line on the road. Precisely.
See, you know what I mean? You live down here. You know what I'm talking about, son.
Yep. Look. You went left. You went left to center. Do you know you went left to center, son? You've been drinking.
Do you know that shit happened? I was incensed. And the only reason that got thrown out is because I knew somebody. I said, you know, I shouldn't have to know someone to get something this egregious thrown out. I said, what happens to people who aren't educated and don't follow through? Or
they get busted, you know, like God wants them to be.
Well, that's
you know, God and the county commission, state legislature, what have you. So let's loop this thing all the way back now.
Okay.
If we win, what does the Republican Party look like in the wilderness? Do they learn from their mistakes, or do they get weirder? If we win and the Republican Party is in the wilderness, does that create room for Joe Scarborough and David Frum and George Will to go back and feel at home in the Republican Party? I will answer my own question and say, oh, hell no. They're living a deluded life where they think that this is somehow an aberration instead of, as we have laid it out here, Todd, a process of generations. It's a project. And we really don't have anybody on our side to compare to what the teabaggers were. And we don't have anybody on our side to compare to what the maggots are. And you know what we really don't have? We really, really don't have anybody to compare to the fucking QAnon goobs.
Oh, God, don't even.
The future, hold on. WWG1WGA. Where we go one, we go all. Whatever the hell that means. But that's their rallying cry.
So what does that mean? They're going to drag everybody down?
If the Republican Party goes to the wilderness, QAnon will become the activist base of a libertarian-centered Republican Party.
Well, I don't
and the Koch that. And the Koch and the hold on and the Koch dynasty doesn't give a shit. Doesn't care how fucking nutty they are, as long as they advocate for that free market anarcho-capitalism that they so dearly love. That's been the problem all along. Is that you've had the money willing to prop up the nutters.
Mm-hmm.
In exchange for the libertarians getting what they want, Ron and Raleigh,
internet
latency being what it is, Ron and Raleigh said before I typed, if we win, QAnon will start bubbling to the top and become the soul of the Republican Party. Ding.
See?
Pre-damn-cisely.
Right. Yes. And look at the Venn diagram. Now, because we got 38 to 42% of the American people who are beholden to this bullshit. So, if that's your starting point, that's a very good bait. That's a good starting point.
Well, they'll go anywhere you tell them to, as long as you keep feeding them the crazy crack. You got a note from Clarence, South Carolina. Voting. Tell Todd I got a plan. I'm black and 70 years old. I qualify for an absentee ballot because of age and job, long-distance truck driver. I'm taking vacation days during election week. I will mask up and glove up and go to the polls. Trump and Graham have to go.
Well, you know, and I don't know. I'm a little wishy-washy now. I think I'm already signed up because my vote is diluted where I live. I live where some of these millionaires vote, so we don't wait long.
Lou just said if Trump loses, I predict he'll be running again in 4 years. Well, I'm hoping he doesn't qualify in 4 years, but but I wank a precious princess. I wank my daddy Trump Kushner will.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell yeah.
Man, I don't know if you've ever been at a Chinese restaurant at 15th and Thompson. That's just below Temple's campus.
No. But
that was the first time I saw the fire hole. And it's like, you know, it's like a corner house, a corner row house, and it's, you know, had these Chinese places on the corner. And it had the bulletproof glass. And it's totally not what we're talking about. But people don't understand. When I was talking about the fire hole, it's a forge. It, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking. I'm thinking about.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And Clarence, I'm sorry. I was thinking about your paella pan and all that. Man, I'm surprised you even have time to talk with anybody. It's too much.
So what's going to happen after the program's over? The upload will be slightly delayed. I will pull the brisket off the smoker, check it, and if it's where I think it's going to be, I'll get out a humongous double-thickness layer of aluminum foil, wrap that baby up as tight as that foil will go, and stick it in my little igloo cooler for carryover cooking, no ice or anything. And an hour later, I'll come back out with my headlamp on, and there will be a tasting. And then tomorrow, I think I've finalized the I mentioned it the other night. I've finalized the brisket paella.
Oh,
it's going to be rice and tomatoes, of course, and beef and I got brisket broth, dude. I got brisket broth.
Oh, shit.
And I'll use the brisket broth, and I'll toast a little saffron and put the saffron in the brisket broth. And do the tomatoes and the rice that way.
Oh. The rice is gonna be beautiful with that. Oh.
And then I'm gonna lay on little bits of carrot, and I've got some of those wee tiny little potatoes, red and blue and gold.
Oh.
And I'll just drop them in amongst the potatoes and the onions. And then, you know, let it do its paella thing. And then at the very end, I'll put in long, beautiful, luscious, velvety slices of brisket, and let it go a little longer. Pull it off, and crumble that wonderful, wonderful queso, that crumbly queso, all over it. And I think magic will happen.
You know, I have magical abilities.
Have you fallen asleep, like tasting, and then you get your little plate, and then you sit down? Have you fallen asleep out there while you're eating?
No, I haven't. But that's just because I sit the smoker is about 25 feet away from me right now, and so what I do is I bounce back and forth between the studio and the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, that's
got to work, doesn't it? That's got to work.
Are you kidding? Come on. It don't have like an errant roll around. You could just put a lot on a roll.
I forgot the mushrooms. There will also be mushrooms.
It's got some fungus in there, man. That's some good shit. Oh, boy.
Yeah, because Agnes and I talked, she's like, no, green peppers would be wrong for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was trying to think about other vegetable families, you know, broccoli, cauliflower. No. The one thing that does intrigue me, tell me if it does it for you too. I was wondering about something like, but the thing is, around here, if I get them, you got to wait a fucking week so they ripen up real good and turn black. Plantains. I was thinking some plantains would, but you know, they're real starchy. They might replace the potatoes, but that could be special.
Now. You have all the capabilities. The grilled and fried plantain with cheese on it. Oh God, this might ring my bell. The Dubliner is good, man. There's a dish. I think I forget the Spanish name for it, but I first had it at a Colombian restaurant at Fifth and Fifth and Allegheny in the Hispanic North Philadelphia. It was like, that's the high-end Hispanic restaurant in the city. And it is delicious. I mean, when you get that good sharp cheese on there like that.
Oh, I know.
It is. Hi, you ready? Oh, okay, I'll be right out.
All right. Well, Tracy sent you a message on the way out the door. Tracy says, breathe, Todd. We're going from teabaggers to maggots to QAnon. That's what's going to happen.
Wow, that sounds like indigestion.
Look, that's the conservative crazy crack progression of addiction.
Remember
when the teabaggers with their death panels was so crazy? That seems positively quaint now.
That ain't shit. Look what that's right. That's some preschool shit now. Come on. Man, this is a hard... Listen, if we're not ahead, these polls have been looking... I've been checking them out. A lot of these polls they're showing are, like, if it's what they claim, when they have over 1,000 respondents, and it's plus or minus 3-point-something, that is a... Man, it's hard to argue with that. That's a good poll. I mean, if those numbers are correct... In terms of the
I know, but I want him. I want Biden up 25.
Right, minimum. That's what it's going to take because of finagling and everything else. We can't trust these fuckers, man. It's really sad.
Yeah, and it sounds like you got to go somewhere, so I don't want to keep you, man. But
I do. Hey, man. Everyone is appreciative of what you're doing, and just keep on keeping on. You know, we have to stay strong here. And
trying to.
Well, I'll be in touch because I'm going to have to respond about your Instagram stuff, and so you see it in writing. Because I'm not going to do it on the air. It might be too pornographic.
Hey, Todd, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
I'll see you.
All right. Later. Bye now. My buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Some emails rolling in whilst I was whilst we were talking. Kyle said, quoting me, libertarianism is race neutral. Oh, bull fucking shit. On a related note, my poor dog's now hiding in the corner because I forgot my hockey puck for the show. Sorry, Sam. Some of those are real bark at the moon. Yeah, I know. This I particularly liked. Kyle followed that up and said, you know, I'm beginning to believe that these Republicans are racists. To which my lovely wife would respond, you think? Right. So they're not going to be done. Oh, and Jude lets us know, yours truly is campaigning for Jamie Harrison here from my home state in the Seattle area. The young men I'm engaging with in his campaign are focused, warm, and so interested in what's occurring here. This is how friendships are sprouted. One even asked if I'd send photos from the Portland protests. That's wonderful. Keep the energy moving, Jude. I know I can always count on. We can always count on Jude. Women standing, the boots, the flowers. Speaking up for those who are so often voiceless. Thank you, Jude. And just in case, let me check over on Twitter, too, because we get commentary in there as well. Eileen in New York says, I'm anticipating the son-in-law Jared as a for sure future candidate, with Ivanka as a glorious first lady. Far, far classier and more influential than that Obama woman. Well, there's been news out there. Eileen, I think for a variety of reasons, Ivanka will get the nod before Jared does. Jared doesn't have the presence. I mean, he did one of the Sunday shows and just came across as it's hard for a pissant not to come across as a pissant, but he came across as a real whiny little pissant. By the way, Nitwit Nero, the case against him over emoluments, well, the appeals court in New York has said that that can just keep right rolling along. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals voted Monday to not take up a complaint by the maggots and to instead let the case proceed in the lower court. The court rejected en banc review of the three-judge panel's ruling. So, and then some of this stuff is going to be damn near an eternity. Or for our little purposes of our little lives, an eternity sorting out. For those of you who have ever read Charles Dickens' Bleak House, eventually, well, all the litigation surrounding Trump, much of which, because it's corporate in nature, will not die with him when that day finally comes, because the Trump organization will continue until it is dissolved and the ground salted, and etc. Well, if you've ever read Bleak House, you're looking at the American version of Jarndyce versus Jarndyce. Jeremy, meanwhile, says, Bob, stop telling us the correct pace to breathe at to maintain our grip on sanity. I mentioned that because, well, Tracy just wrote in again and said, Dear Brother, Breathe, Todd, Part 2. Dear Brothers Bob and Todd, listening to your voter woes makes me thank goddess that I live in California. We've already received mailers for voting by mail. No muss, no fuss. Fuck Confederate states. I'm never leaving Cali. I don't blame you. Because as Kyle said a little bit back, and I got to find it here. True democracies don't make it this fucking impossible to just vote a literal piece of shit out of office. And that's so true. But again, it is a truism of Republican politics going way the hell back that generally speaking, high voter turnout favors Democrats, low voter turnout favors Republicans. And so, as a consequence, you know which way the conventional wisdom runs for them. That's why he's trying to get his maggots all fired up to vote in person so that all the people who think they voted by mail won't have, and he'll win on the walk-up vote. Jeremy adds, the right-wing marching, subject line crazies, was spreading a video from the Sturgis rally of the police taking down a large black man with a sign that said, 45, go home, we don't want him, we don't want COVID or Nazis here. They claimed it was Antifa! Yeah, and I think the chief of police in Sturgis managed to get himself, suspended because he had a wreck over the weekend? That thing is finally mercifully over. Yeah. And so now everybody's going to go home and spread what they got. Those quaint, innocent death panel days, Scott in San Diego says, the GOP had just graduated from sculpting with their own poo and had moved into their finger-painting stage back when death panels were a thing. Today it's plain to see that the GOP monster has grown at a tremendous rate. Yeah, if you go over on YouTube, you can find a terrible 50s science fiction movie called The Colossal Man. Or in the case of Trump, the Colossal Man Baby. And now, add one more to the name of the QAnon Loony Goonies. over the weekend, Nitwit Nero couldn't quite bring himself to say that QAnon was nuts, but we covered that. And suddenly, Kevin McCarthy can't bring himself to distance himself or disavow the nuttiness of the woman who won that nomination in Georgia. Well, add one more. The former wife of Donald Trump. Which one? Marla Maples. That would be Tiffany's mama. Can't keep up with them. Well, she has decided to jump on the Bill Gates is going to make us all wear chips and it, right. Back on Thursday, Marla Maples shared a photo on the Daily Beast from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Shared a cartoon that described in the terms of the article Bill Gates, quote, cracking up like a cartoon villain, and the caption read, "We get rid of cash and coins. We give you a chip. We put all your money in your chip. If you refuse a vaccine, we turn off the chip and you starve." God, these people. Because something that, and Brother Deacon Asa has a sciencey bent to him. Brother Deacon Asa pointed out something the other night that had not dawned on me, but that made perfect sense. So what the way it shakes out is part of the QAnon loony goony, and remember, there's all kinds of different kinds. If you get a chance to catch John Oliver's takedown of QAnon from this past weekend, you'll be torn between laughing and running screaming into the yard. And so one of the things that Brother Deacon Asa pointed out is, have these people who think that 5G is going to allow Bill Gates to control their minds, that the signal coming off of that 5G is about a gajillion times weaker than the signal coming off of the average radio tower? Because RF is a thing. And anybody who worked in radio, whether it's Richard in Tennessee or Scott in San Diego, you know, there's just some things you don't fuck with in radio, and RF is one of them. RF will pull the fucking fillings out of your head. Or cook them. And so, yes, Marla Maples, no surprise, is now an anti-vaxxer, anti-Bill Gates, whatever. Because, of course, she is. The saddest thing, though, and this I had mentioned Robert F. Kennedy Jr. earlier, is, you know, deep, deep down the anti-vax rabbit hole. I suspect because he thinks that if anybody ever establishes a real link, that he can, as a lawyer, make a killing on the class action or something. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. But he was actually part of a group that hired out the Riverside Church near Harlem back in 2019 to spread anti-vax ignorance among the community of color there and try to make African-American families distrustful of vaccines that are long established as being A, effective, and B, safe. And they've done this by reference to things like the Tuskegee Project, a truly shameful moment in our history. And it becomes particularly hateful what people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing. When you realize the toll that COVID-19 is already taking on communities of color, what it does in the Hispanic community, what it does in the African-American community, how underserved the African-American community already is, what only 6% of all doctors are black. And we've talked in the past about the bigotry that attends ideas of pain thresholds. And so all of these things are brutal and cynical and hateful and, yes, racist. But now, yeah, everybody's going to get a microchip from Bill Gates. Sure they are. That's what these QAnon goddamn goobers believe. And there's that word, believe. So here's, and so many of these things come from Orange County, California, or bumfuck somewhere in the South. But there's COVIDiots. God knows there are COVIDiots in New York, too. So here's a guy who's wearing his mask as a chin strap and getting filmed, getting videoed.
You want to do that? Take the picture. Go ahead. You got that? You got that? Fuck you too.
Flipping the bird, the camera, the person with the camera, the bird.
Fuck you. Fuck your social media. Fuck wherever you put in it. Fuck you too.
Goes about making his coffee. The guy with the mask gets the fuck away from him as quickly as he can.
Fucking bully and be the master police, but stand behind the phone like a pussy. You ain't gonna do shit, and your father's in here. Say what? Love it? Did you say something to me? Did you say something to me?
Yeah, man.
Before that, did you say something?
No, I was saying,
why would I say something to you?
So you point over here?
I'm talking to him. Right. I'm doing my thing. Everybody wanna be talking about this. Everybody. Fuck you and your mask. Fuck you and your mask. Bitch.
Gets up in his face. This is all in a 7-Eleven. And this is a country that's supposed to survive a pandemic. Because, of course, Bill Gates, Jeremy in Vermont, says, yeah, about that chip and shot. What about that expensive chip that many of us already carry around? You know, our smartphone, which from personal experience remembers searches and quite possibly things I've said from time to time and tries to sell me them. Again, the things the QAnon goobers and the maggots and the COVIDiots and the mask holes don't know would fill volumes. Microchip from Bill Gates, Lee in New York, says, only if he can overcharge you for it. Knew there had to be a Microsoft joke in there somewhere. My favorite is, How is the guy who made a fortune on Microsoft going to rule the world when the thing he made the fortune on, Microsoft joke. And as we head out this evening, a reminder again from Flavio, one oleander seed, just one. The poison from yellow oleander is similar to a drug used in the West to treat heartbeat irregularities, digoxin. Digoxin slows down the heartbeat. An oleander seed is like 100 digoxin tablets in one container, and the effect on the heart is dramatic. It gets slower and slower, and then stops. Next up, Trump will suggest deadly nightshade and hemlock. Well, see, the point is the oleander kills you before the COVID can. So then that cuts down.
Because, you know, if we're not testing and they're dying of other things, they're not dying of COVID. And so somebody get me the Nobel Peace Prize, okay?
And the prize in medicine. I need two. Fuckers. Homicidal maniacs. And Megan says, tell Todd it gets worse. I got into an argument on Facebook with a friend of mine over Biden. He was literally arguing that there was no difference between Biden and Trump, and who's to say Biden won't call out federal troops on protesters. It wasn't until he announced his running mate as Senator Harris when he said voting for Biden was more palatable to him. He's a white guy in Illinois who labels himself a centrist. This, and a warning went out on Twitter today, actually telling people to not sit out this election protest. Apparently it's a fantasy of the left that if things get worse, people will explode and go full-scale Bolshevik on the federal government. I even saw where Susan Sarandon admitted on live TV that she wanted a Leninist revolution. Well, of course she did. The lotus rises from the mud and all that silly horseshit. Oh, no. There's a hashtag out there, Dem Exit. And it is aggressively pushed by, you know, same people who think Russian vaccine will be totally, totally without side effects. Yeah. And all you can do is try to counter it with reason, common sense, and decency. That's all. So here we are. Moran Monday is at an end. I told you we had a bunch of morans, and we still got a bunch of morans we didn't even get to. Who knew that there was something even worse than hydroxychloroquine out there? Well, live and learn, right? So, thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who, via your subscriptions and your PayPal, your Patreon, your a la carte contributions, help keep this program on the air. Thank you so much. It's the only way this program exists. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Fear-mongering. Tracy says, these people are doing their level best to kill off my people by using the righteous fear of the government regarding vaccines by invoking Tuskegee and Henrietta Lacks and how gynecology was built on the backs of black women because we have lower pain thresholds. If this country wasn't so racist, they couldn't get away with this shit, and it's true. But there's a big damn difference between the horrors of Tuskegee and what Henrietta Lacks went through and vaccines that keep communities from seeing their children suffer and die. Regarding Bill Gates and chipping the unwashed, Brother Deacon Asa adds, if it's so transparent, Bob, Bill Gates was short on cash and therefore he hatched this scheme, bankrolled the Wuhan lab, along with the Jews, of course, the Jews, to create the China flu, just so he could get a vaccination chipping contract from the U.S. government. Wake up, sheeple! Oh, Brother Deacon Asa, you're a little too good at that sometimes. I worry. I do. Not that much, though. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way come 9 o'clock. Hope you'll be there. Might provide a nice antidote to any urges you might have to scream when seeing various and sundry never-Trump Republicans on the podium at the virtual Democratic convention. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please, stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you can't, wear your mask, wash your hands, wear your gloves. Big believer in those gloves myself. Not believer, but you know what I mean. They help. Keep your social distance. And if you see a bleach blonde lady coming your way talking about Bill Gates is going to put a chip in us all, avoid her like the plague, because she is. Later.